The Milk Bar, sponsored by www.wolvesmobile.co.uk. Saving you money on your mobile, making cash for your club.
Welcome along, episode 82 of The Milk Bar. Jason and Nina here. How are you, young lady?
I'm fine. Thank you, Jason. Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm okay. I've got a slight sore throat coming on.
Oh, no.
And I'm a bit bunged up.
But other than
that, I'm okay.
Not another one.
Well, I'll be all right. I'll be fine by tomorrow. Fingers crossed. Because I've got to shout a lot to people tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a Wolves-Chelsea game, but fingers crossed we will be okay.
Small matter of a Wolves-Chelsea game.
Yes, and by the time many people will hear this, they will know the results. So I don't want you to tell me now. I want to be a surprise.
Okay. All right, I'll let it that way. Yeah. Did you have a nice Christmas and New Year?
It was very good, thank you. How was yours?
That's fantastic. You
got a new member of the family.
I've got a new little addition.
A doggy.
Yeah, my little baby. Well, I say little. He's actually a Newfoundland, so little is the operative word, really.
It's going to be a very short-term littleness. Yeah. It'll be massive by the middle of the year.
It's like actually having a bear in the house.
Really? Okay.
He's destroying most of my furniture.
Lovely.
As we speak.
So at least something to ask for next Christmas is a replacement sofa.
Furniture.
Yeah. So how did you spend New Year's Eve?
Do you know what? Just had a quiet one, stayed in, and just saw the New Year in at home, really. I was a bit all partied out after Christmas, so... Mm.
I'm not big on parties myself.
What did you do for New Year?
I sat in front of a television set for a bit. And I listened to some Radio 4 and that was about it, really.
Did you see the fireworks, though?
They were brilliant, the fireworks
in
London.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing. And the ones in Sydney, when they kicked off, I thought they were fantastic. But then London were pretty awesome, weren't they?
And if you've got a big Catherine wheel like that, was it? Yeah.
There
we are. So that was all good.
It lends itself to it.
And you missed the quiz last week.
I did.
So you were off playing with your new puppy.
I know. I was puppy sitting.
And we had jolly good fun doing that.
Did you have fun?
Yes.
Who won?
It was run by Robert Bauer's team.
Oh, was it?
Two boys and a girl, one as opposed to the three girls on the other side.
Ah. Were the questions hard?
No, I wrote them.
Oh.
It's still available online. You can go and listen to it.
I haven't listened to it yet, actually.
You're a very naughty girl.
I've been too busy puppy sitting.
I know you didn't want to eat your iPod.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been bad. Now, coming up on the programme today, we're hearing about a campaign to get a song to number one. We'll explain that a little bit later on. It's Rednecks or something. I know very little, but it comes from one of Mr. Watko from Mansour 103.2's colleagues.
Oh, no, I'm not even going there. No way, not after last time.
Now, I ended up, I rang him just to let him know that he's in trouble with you, for starters.
Yeah.
And after the little event on episode 80,
yes.
Go back to that one if you want to hear Nina being slightly duped, accidentally, because there's any way I could do it. But
I haven't forgiven you.
I think Claire has either, to be honest. But there were people who were taken in until they heard the song.
Really?
And then they realised that it couldn't be for real, as you did.
I wish that there had actually been a video in here when I was listening to the song, because I couldn't believe that this person had done so well.
That was because it was all untrue, but there we go.
Goodness me.
So I ended up on his breakfast show last Friday New Year's Eve. I rang up just to say about this, and he put me straight to air.
Did he?
And we had a little nice little chat.
Oh.
But I got to wish the people of Mansfield a very happy New Year.
Oh, that was nice.
That was quite good. But
I was in the middle of Wales then.
Yeah.
Picking up my little baby.
Ah.
So I wouldn't have had no phone reception whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
But I am going to get him back when he's least expecting it.
That will happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, his producers well up for that. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't tell him.
Don't tell him. It's a secret. So he won't know when it's coming. That's what will happen. On the podcast today, as well as that, we have a gentleman called Paul Baker who's joined us. Hello.
Good evening.
Somewhere near the microphone, please, sir.
Oh, I do apologise.
Over there. That's that thing in the corner. I know you play Tudor instruments and they didn't have such contraptions in that time.
No, I knew not what it was, Master. It's a most remarkable fine thing.
Because we have a studio full of various oldie English-type musical equipment.
We do. I've brought a little subset of delights. for your pleasure, sir.
And during the warm-up session, Nina has been absolutely amazed by the racket that you've been able to make
it's
with this.
It's been fantastic. I'm absolutely astounded. I've never seen anything quite like it in my life.
I haven't actually played the racket yet. That's sitting there.
Which I wouldn't surprise me if there was such a thing as a racket.
There is such a thing as a racket.
There is.
Yes.
Is it really over there?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Which one?
That's the racket.
That's a racket.
The thing that looks like a coffee jar.
Yes. Okay. We'll take a listen to that, amongst other things, a little bit later on. First of all, though, we're going to find out about an event taking place at Molyneux on the 14th of January. And to tell us more about it and some of this story behind it, we have Caroline Harris. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Nina.
Now, the event that takes place on the 14th of January is in memory of your son Jacob, who sadly didn't make it to his first birthday, which would have been the 13th of January, wouldn't it?
That's right, yes.
Now, this funding from this event is going towards support of the people who looked after you and Jacob during his sadly short life. Tell us a little about what actually happened.
Okay, Jacob was diagnosed during pregnancy with a rare condition called a lymphatic malformation, which is like a lump on the side of his neck, sort of from his ear through to the sort of front of his face under his neck. It's just mainly full of fluid, but it is quite a rare condition. So both the Birmingham Women's Hospital and Birmingham Children's had to be involved with the pregnancy and also his actual exit procedure, which is his arrival and birth. Mm-hmm. So it was he had quite a lot of attention from very early on.
And they say there was a lot of work done to help him through, but unfortunately, during last year, this condition actually got the better of him, didn't it?
Yeah, he was due to have an operation on the 9th of August to actually remove his mass. But unfortunately, on the 19th of April, he passed away during the night when we went into in the morning. Despite best efforts to resuscitate him, he couldn't be revived, unfortunately. So, mm-hmm.
So it's a mark of that, as we said, just after what would have been his first birthday, you're having this event, and it's taking place at Molyneux. So tell us a little about what's actually happening for this ball.
What we have a singer on there, Rat Pack Singer. We also have a disco, and we have caricaturists there. You can have photos taken on the evening. There will also be an auction and a raffle on the evening. So lots of entertainment, and hopefully a good time will be had by all.
Sounds like it should be an excellent night. With the charities that are benefiting, as we said, Birmingham Children's Hospital, the Tiny Baby Unit.
That's right, yeah, which is based at the Birmingham Women's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And also a charity called Sparks, which bizarrely I have given to for over 10 years, not realising how close to home it would be, mm-hmm. as it was last year. So, and Sparks is a medical research charity that looks to give babies who have conditions sort of diagnosed either in pregnancy or early on to sort of help them get a better start in life. So they do research on those conditions but it is a children's charity.
I have actually heard of Sparks before. They do an amazing job. I've had a couple of friends who have been involved with them, and just the work they do is just phenomenal. Absolutely and amazing.
It was founded by professional sports people actually as well, so there's a lot of sort of famous sporting personalities who are associated with the Sparks charity.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's going to be a fabulous evening. So is it going to take the shape of an actual ball then, Caroline?
Yeah, we're saying like a ball. I mean, it is black tie or smart dress. I mean, some people will want to wear black tie, not everybody will.
Oh, so it's always nice to dress up.
As long as it's
though.
A smart dress, but no strict dress code in that sense, as long as it's not jeans and T-shirts.
You're looking for a bit of glamour for definite.
Yes.
And how can people buy tickets for the event or get hold of you or find out more information? Where do they go to do that, Caroline?
Well, we do have some posters sort of dotted around, but there's also a link on the Wolves Facebook site. And I mean, we have a telephone number you can contact, mm-hmm. and we also have an email address.
Okay, so what's the phone number?
The phone number is 01902 743484, and the email address is michael.harris900@virgin.net.
Okay, so Wolverhampton number 01902 743484, and michael.harris900@virgin.net if you do want to come along. And what's the cost on those tickets?
The tickets are £30 per adult.
Mm-hmm. And that does include, the ball itself? And,
it is a three-course meal with coffee and mints. Okay. And then obviously all the entertainment.
And what's on the menu for the night, do you know?
We have a soup to start, followed by a chicken dinner, or there is a cannelloni vegetarian option, apple crumble for dessert.
So it should be...
Sounds delicious.
A lovely food.
Yeah, and for a fantastic cause as well.
And the foodie's very good at Molyneux.
It is
well.
Very good.
Yeah, I can tell you that now. Caroline, thank you for joining us. Obviously, our thoughts with you on what is going to be a difficult week or two.
Definitely.
And do have a good event, and hopefully a good amount of cash will be raised from this to help others who find themselves in a similar situation.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
No problem at all, Caroline. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye for now.
Bye.
So once again, the contact details to get in touch with Caroline and Michael would be 01902 743484 on the phone, or email michael.harris900@virgin.net. Nina.
Right, we have a lovely young gentleman in the studio with us now.
Oh, thank you for that.
How are you doing, Paul? Are you all right?
I am marvellous.
Would you like to talk us through all these wonderful instruments that you have here? I've never seen so many pieces of wood in my life.
This, madam, is my profession.
It's amazing.
I am for my sins an Elizabethan musician.
How fantastic. So what is the year? What's the period?
1580 or thereabouts.
1580
is where we base ourselves.
My goodness me.
Which is just a few years before the Armada.
Oh, goodness. That's a bit before all our time.
Just a little.
Yours, Jason. I don't know.
But don't behave yourself, young lady. But what on earth made you choose that particular period of history to be interested in the music from?
Good music. It's wonderful stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a huge amount of it as well. Lots of a funny instrument. Possibly even more than we've got today.
Well, we're inundated at the
moment. But you were telling me, Paul, weren't you, that you started off playing the recorder when you were a little boy.
Yes.
And then that's how you got hooked on it, and then it sort of escalated from there.
Unlike sensible people, I didn't give it up. I ended up with a diploma on it and then tried to work out what you do with a diploma on the recorder.
How fantastic.
We were talking about how to introduce you, though. This isn't your only interest. Because you do website design, which is something a little more modern than this.
But a little
make
bit,
instruments
yes.
as well.
Make Tudor instruments, yes.
Yeah.
I design little robotic mechanisms for museums and interactives, and I do all sorts of stuff.
A very talented man, I think.
Anything that's fun.
It does sound rather good fun. So introduce us to the first of the instruments that you have. Because there are things that look like big recorders over there.
Yeah,
those are big recorders.
Is that their official term?
But they're not made of plastic these days. Plastic is the material of choice often, isn't it?
No, you can't beat wood. Well, do you want a recorder to start with?
Yeah, I think that would be... that's how you started, so should we begin there?
Shall we go for the...
How many different sizes are there? Because that's a big one.
That's just the base.
Okay.
That's not what I call a big one.
Right.
It's the biggest one I commonly got round, but they go about three sizes bigger than that.
Uh-huh.
There was one made in Germany 15 feet high.
15 feet?
15 feet.
That's a standard box to play it.
Like
stand
two
on a table.
People.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a bit useless on its own, so presumably there was an entire consort of slightly smaller sizes. So you probably got all these German recorder players standing on tables and chairs to play.
Or a big hill. That
yes.
would work, wouldn't it?
Yes, you can do the same thing with a large organ, but, you know, it's not nearly as much fun.
And nowhere near as amusing to watch.
Well, exactly.
Is this available on YouTube? That's what I need to check out next. Okay, grab the recorder and let's see what you can do with that thing. So this is the a bass, so it's not... Not massive on your scale of things, but looks it to me.
It's big for a recorder.
Yep.
Thank you.
Very nice. I like the mellow sound.
It's he's got much less shrill than the things that I used to wave around it when I was at primary school.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a little secret to recorders.
You don't blow so hard.
No, you can't play them more than one to a part. If you try and put two recorders, unless they're made by they're hideously expensive things made as a matched pair by professional makers, they never sound right. You can't double them up the way you can do violins, which is what everybody tries to do with recorders.
Oh, yeah, because it's cheap and cheerful, and you have a school hall full of them. Possibly.
London's burning. That's what we used to
do. Oh, it's terrible. my sister was a recorder player in our house, and it was never enjoyable.
I think it's worse than drums, actually. Like as a parent, it must be like, especially the shrill, and if the kid thinks that they're doing really well.
So how does that compare to one of your other recorders over there?
Should we go to the other end?
Yeah.
That's a discount. There's only one.
Looks like a similar kind of size to like what we were talking about playing in the schools, right?
This is your school size recorder. Yeah. This is the discount. Sort of stuff,
and that's that is a bit sharper on the ear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are they made out of the same wood then?
More or less maple, generally.
Is it? Because it's quite a soft.
No, hard.
Oh, is it?
No, you need a hard wood to make recorders out of.
Stop absorbing any moisture as well.
If you look in your museums, though, you've got ebony, you've got ivory, you've got all sorts
There's
of.
There's a song there.
Well, hopefully it doesn't get played on the recorder that often. That's a range of recorders, but that's not the only woodwind instrument you've got. Because is it crumhorns? Is that?
Walking stick. He's brought a walking stick into the studio.
That's what happens when you leave a recorder in the rain. It bends.
these are tubes, and it's got a reed at the top.
The reed's enclosed in a case, so it's a bit easier than things like shawms and oboes because you can't you can't quite so easily bang the reed on your jumper and crack it. It's a little bit less versatile, but it's a little German oddity. Always was a German oddity.
Similar, but all the sounds are completely different.
And that is a medieval style sound, isn't it? That triggers in the head. It may not be, but that's what it triggers when you listen.
Tudor, to be specific. Yes, but it's
of that ilk. So you'd expect to go to National Trust property with the crumbling castle walls and hear that sort of thing being played.
You know, like, I can imagine the ladies like bowing and curtsying and dancing round.
Well, if there was room in here, you see, I could teach you a few moves.
We're going to get Jason to do that.
No. I'm not dancing with him. But these crumb on those is in different sizes.
Yeah, there's another. Everything was made in different sizes in the 16th century because you got your consorts. So the same way as you got a choir, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, they did the instruments in all the sizes. So you still got it in the orchestra. You got your violins, violas, cellos, double basses.
Yeah,
as a four part consort. But not a lot of the other instruments have survived that way. I mean, flutes are basically just flutes, and oboes are basically just oboes. There are some bigger sizes, but they're sort of oddities. But everything was played in consorts, including strings like lutes.
And so you've got all sorts of
sizes of crumhorns. This is the slightly bigger one. This is the tenor.
Like an oboe, kind of. Is it a bit oboe-ified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got the same sort of reed. But that's what you want if you want something like an oboe.
What's that?
That looks like a hearing trumpet.
Yeah, it does. It looks like one of the hunting horns that you got.
This is a shawm.
A shawm?
Yeah. invented by the Arabs. Probably brought back right across Europe during the Crusades. Mm-hmm. And then developed into something slightly grander and less raucous than the things the Saracens used to play.
Right.
Now this involves you sucking your reed at this point. You're moistening. You've been doing this on and off for the last half an hour.
Yeah, whether it will do any good, I'm not sure, but we'll have a go. Shawms actually require a proper reed, and it has to be kept moist. Well, it has to be used moist.
Made moist.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what happens here.
It's still very hard. Just a sec. Let's try the other one.
That's blooming loud.
That is really loud. That's just gone straight through one ear on the other.
Well, they used to play those in a consort of at least four, sometimes five and six, and that was your town band.
I should think it covered most of the city size, that did. And it's much more of a regal sound than that one, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I mean, get four of those together, and it is the most monumentally grand sound you've ever heard. It's fantastic.
How many do you play in a group then when you go to?
Yes.
You said you played at Warwick Castle, didn't you?
I did about 4 years at Warwick Castle. Generally as a duo.
Yeah.
Now I can field an entire Renaissance shawm band, which is basically four of those.
Really?
And it's.
And they hear you coming.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And then you get out of the way.
But you make it really mournful as well. You play stuff that really shouldn't be played on shawms, like some of the slower madrigals. It's hugely grand.
Which is your favourite instrument out of everything that you have?
Oh. Well, I'd probably have to say the recorder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then, of course, you get your little favourites. I mean, things like bagpipes and...
Can we do the bagpipes
a little bit later on?
Oh.
But we're going to have a listen to this song by Rednecks in a moment or two. But okay. Can I hear the racket before
course,
we do that?
Yes.
Is that okay? No, you're all right with that?
Yeah, this is the one that looks like a giant pepper pot.
it's basically an answer to Crumhorn's being rather long on the bass sizes. So... This is I'll tell how it works in a minute. Let's see if we can get a tune out of it.
That's an amazingly low note.
It's a bit low, isn't it?
There must be what's about a foot long.
It's about a foot long.
Yeah,
and it goes lower than a bassoon. That one.
Tell me, is that where they get the expression "what a racket" from?
Making a racket. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a funny expression. I think someone was playing a shawm. And that's where the expression came from. Somebody simply mistook the instrument. Because
really?
I mean, they're very deep, but they're not loud rackets.
No.
They're pretty little things.
Yeah.
But that must have, to get a note that low, and so it's something so short, it must have internal tubing that moves in more than one direction.
Yes, there are actually... if you imagine a coffee pot, a solid coffee pot, made of solid wood, right? And then you drill 9 holes, one down the middle, and then 8 all around it, and then you ream out a cross at the bottom and the top and put plugs in so that the bore goes down and back up and down and back up and down and back up 9 times. So the actual body of the thing is what's that, about 8 inches, something like that?
Yeah, but we're looking at what would be, again, we talked about a 15-foot recorder, but that would be about an 8 to 9-foot tract of air moving to make those notes.
Exactly.
How would they make the holes in Tudor times? How would they?
With the drill.
It was all hand powered, I take it, at that point.
Yeah, I mean, they were.
Or treadle.
What do you call an Archimedean drill? You can still get it for drilling things like that. They tend to use it on stone, for drilling holes in stone.
Oh, right.
And all it is, it's essentially like a barley sugar twist.
Yes, shaft.
With a drill bit on the end, uh-huh. and then there's a handle on the top, and then you slide a sliding handle up and down, and it forces it to rotate, and that's probably something like what they'd use in the Tudor times.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Much slower than modern equipment, but still perfectly effective.
Mm. Yeah, fantastic.
Much more of a craft than having these things mass produced, and that's what these are the sort of instruments. Apart from the recorder, are not normally mass produced, are they?
No, well, not what you'd call mass nowadays. No. They're not exactly one offs, but they don't produce them in huge quantities.
Where do you get all your instruments from then?
Well, you go to the makers. Recorders, there are shops in Bradford and Bristol, are the two main ones, mm-hmm. where you can actually go and see an entire rack of decent recorders on a shelf and go and choose one. Mm. Spend all day on it, generally.
But all the unusual ones, I mean, they can't really manufacture a lot of them, can they? I wouldn't think. With all due respect, there's not much call for them.
The world doesn't have many racket makers.
No.
The world doesn't really have enough racket makers.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's a good way of putting it.
I mean, if you need a shawarma, I can tell you where to go.
That's next year's Christmas present idea for you, Jason. Well,
I'm not sure I'll be that good at playing it. But I'd give it a try once and then give up on it, to be fair. But we shall explore your collection of bagpipes, because I see at least two sets over there.
And?
You got the hurdy-gurdy as well in a short while's time. Meanwhile, it's back to the phone lines we go, and a colleague of Watco, your favourite...
No, I'm not even going to go. I don't think I'm even going to talk.
No, it's okay, it's okay. It's Joe Allen. He does some stuff on breakfast.
Are you sure?
But
he's called Joe Allen, and he's not from some
he's really
latex boy band from the 1960s.
No, they're definitely not. No, that's not the case. He just sat the evening, 6 or 11. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm absolutely fantastic and an honour to be on this thing.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Now, you've got a bit of a Facebook campaign going, because you DJ not only around Mansfield and the area covered by Mansfield 103.2, but also up and down the country. And you've sort of picked up on a tune that you feel ought to be going places.
I wouldn't say going places. I don't think it's going to be going places. I hope it does. Don't get me wrong. And it's a tune that was passed on to me. And at the beginning, I must admit, I hated the song.
Right.
It was passed on to me by a fellow DJ, and he came up to me and said, Joe, next time you go out, you know, you've got to play this song. I'm like, okay. So I had a listen to it back at home, and it sounded dreadful, and it was by a group called Rednecks that did Cotton Eye Joe back in 1994.
Oh, my goodness, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So quite retro. You know, we're going back at well over 15 years, you know, since the last song. As I'm listening to it, I think, I can't play this. You know, it sounds awful. It sounds shocking. People are going to scrutinise me or boo me off the decks, you know, the first time I play it. And so I sort of left it. And a couple of weeks later, somebody came up to me in the nightclub and said, you know, have you got this song by Rednecks? And I'm like, what? Have you got this song by Rednecks that's been playing, you know, throughout the clubs? I said, is that really being played at the minute? And they were like, yeah, you know, it's green, you know, people love it. People dance to it. So quickly, we had to download it very quickly at nightclub. And we put it on, and the whole place was just jumping to this Rednecks tune called Devils on the Loose.
Okay, well, let's take a bit of a listen to it. Because of copyright reasons, I think we'd only take about 50 seconds. But let's give it a bit of a blast and see whether it is worthy of your campaign to get it to go on to, onto music notoriety.
You better watch out for the devil. Devils on the loose, devils on the loose, devils on the loose, got her brains in her shoes. Shoes,
So, Joe, are you dancing now, just as you hear it down the phone there?
Yeah, I'm actually quite tempted to do the cowboy yee-haw bit.
And that really is full in the nightclub dance floors in Mansfield, Bolsover and the other place, Ash something or other.
Honestly, you would not believe the amount of people that ask for it on a night out. It's sort of like, can you remember the Cha-Cha slide and
sadly,
we know
yes.
Speak Americano? It's sort of like going places like that. It's very annoying, but very catchy. You know, you find yourself clicking your fingers to it.
I'm actually a bit speechless. okay, right. Well, I haven't been clubbing for a while, but if that's what they're all dancing to, I think I'm going to stay at home.
I really don't blame you.
Yeah, tell us how we can find your Facebook campaign and either join or deride the song.
You can join. It's Rednecks Devils on the Loose, the Facebook page is called.
Yep. And how many people have signed up to like that so far?
We've roughly got about 24 at the minute. Shamefully admitting, but the Twitter campaign is going through the roof. We're getting at least 20 new added to Twitter every single day, so that's taking off a lot better than Facebook.
It could snowball.
Can you download it then?
Yeah, you can probably buy it on iTunes, can you?
You can download it. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, and it's available on HMV Digital. And it's available to buy on CD in the UK on the 7th of January.
Well, that's quite a treat. You're doing your bit to promote it. Have you been able to play it on air as yet, or is that somewhat kiboshed by management?
I was allowed to play it on Christmas Day night. Watco allowed me to play it. he hates the song, by the way. He hates my campaign. He hates the song. Well, he allowed me to play it.
I did say to Younger Ian, is it worth talking to this guy or is he a nutter? He told me you were a nutter. And based on that campaign, I don't think he's far wrong, to be fair.
I found it on iTunes.
Yeah, you're not going to buy it, though, are you?
No!
Best not to.
I just wanted to make sure you weren't winding me up again.
Yeah, it's a real song, it is out there.
Okay, well, having heard 50 seconds of that and about a minute of the Latex Lover Boys...
Can I have the Latex Lover Boys back, please? Or come back, all is forgiven.
We'll have to see what we can do with that. We'll actually get Ian over dressed in latex for you at some point, but there we go. Joe, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
No problem at all. Cheers.
Take care. Bye.
2011 to you both.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. There we go. Joe Allen from Mansfield 103.2. You can, of course, find him on their website, mansfield103.co.uk.
It's very bizarre, isn't it?
Joe or the song itself?
No, I like Joe. Joe sounds lovely. He sounds much nicer than Watco because he didn't wind me up.
At least you've now got some ammunition. There might be a colleague there who can have a go at Watco for you. So maybe you'd team up with him.
Yeah.
That might work. So make friends with Joe.
I'm scheming.
That's the way. We like that idea. Shall we go back to the fabulous array of musical instruments we have behind
yes.
us? Not a redneck in sight.
No.
It is, in fact, Paul Baker. And did you want the bagpipes now, Nina?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got two sets of bagpipes. Give us a bit of history on bagpipes. How did that all come about? Are they a modern instrument by your standards or a bit ancient?
They're ancient by my standards. We're pretty sure that Emperor Nero played the bagpipes.
Just to annoy his neighbours.
Now, you see, I should have looked up the reference, but if you read one of the Roman authors about the sack of Rome with the Goths and the Vandals and the Visigoths moving through the city and burning and pillaging... Nero was sitting up in a tower, and the actual account refers to him playing some sort of pipe with something under his arm.
Sounds like a bagpipe to me.
If you read the account, if it's not a bagpipe, I don't know what he was playing.
Could have been a cat.
Nero is a brand of black Zambuca.
Right.
I know this from Christmas.
Wasn't quite where the he was expecting his name to end up, I'm sure. But so they're pretty old, these things.
Yeah, I mean, they've been played all over Europe, certainly since early medieval times.
Me and my naivety, I actually thought that they originated from Scotland.
Ah.
And that's completely wrong, isn't it?
Well, there's a distinction, you see. Mm. Most bagpipes are musical instruments. The Scottish one's a weapon. It was actually designated as a weapon in the 18th century.
What, How? Why?
Because it sounds so bad.
Well, I have no idea. I
used to hit people and then spin around and hit people.
No,
with the, pipes.
The Highland bagpipes are wonderful at 500 yards. They're brilliant. no, I mean, there are bagpipes everywhere. The French are really good bagpipers. I mean, there are about four or five different bagpipes commonly played in France, and quite a few other ones. You can find bagpipes in Spanish. They've got the gaita and various ones. France has got the Bourbonnais pipe, the cabret, the bagpipe, which is the old French one. There's about
is it le bagpipe or la bagpipe?
Le sac bout.
Right.
Got to be male. Yeah. Can't be female, something like that.
and the biniou, which is a nasty little thing, but quite pretty. And they're all over Europe. And
they're all over the studio here. So we've got two varieties of bagpipe there. So what are the difference between the two we have with you today?
This one is what you'd call an outdoor bagpipe. And this is the old English bagpipe.
Now, I'm going to have to turn all the microphones down a long way for this, aren't I?
No.
Is it not that loud?
They're not actually that loud. They're not. It's only really the Highland pipe and possibly the Spanish gaita that are really sort of offensive at close quarters.
Okay, then hit us with it and see what we get. It inflates the bag and away we go. That's very impressive.
I was in a bit of a trance then.
That's what they're for.
Really?
Yes.
I felt like a mosquito, a moth going towards the light.
you need about 20 people in a medium-sized room with a big log fire. You get the wine flowing, and then everybody sits, preferably in big, fat, squidgy armchairs.
Lovely.
And you get a piper, or two pipers. Two pipers is good, because you can play harmony on them. Yeah. And you just sit those up a corner, and you just weave patterns in the atmosphere for a couple of hours.
Oh, lovely.
Everybody generally ends up asleep.
But that's only got two pipes on, isn't it?
Those are the drones at the top. Make the ongoing droning noise.
Yeah, this really is the Tudor English bagpipe because of the two drones. The medieval one is very similar, but of course it's only got one drone.
Right.
But the two just give it that nice fat sound on the bass.
And it's almost like a chord in the background the whole time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the simplest harmony you can get, one chord. But it's amazing how it works, as long as you don't try and play anything too sophisticated on the tune.
There's nothing by Queen or an upbeat rock tune that isn't going to work.
You can play a wind instrument. Is it you can play pretty much the whole kind of family of
Well, the recorders are very similar. I mean, apart from the fact if your fingers are too small, you can't play the big ones because you haven't got the stretch. Mm-hmm. But no, most recorders are very similar to most other recorders. Mm. And the recorder is similar to a bagpipe chanter. Mm. So it's not far off, but of course there are all the oddities in the fingering. Because essentially it's a tube.
Yeah.
And more or less, if you've got a certain length of tube, you drill holes in pretty much the same position and the fingering comes out pretty much the same.
It's all proportional, at least.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. So the fingering and all these things is similar.
And but what's that actually made of? Because it looks like it's some sort of leather outer, but what's on the inside of a bagpipe bag?
Leather.
It is all just leather.
It. Yeah. What you see is what you get. It's just what you'd call suede, exactly.
Yeah.
And then treated with bagpipe season. You don't ask what goes into bagpipe season.
No, it's a bit like you don't want to know what's in a haggis.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're in Scotland.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes,
but it stops it rotting. We just don't ask how it stops it rotting. Lard is one of the ingredients, but the others are.
Do you have to re-oil it every once in a while?
About every 12 months I do mine. And it involves getting a saucepan on the stove and then melting down this stuff in a water bath. And at that point it goes liquid, and then you take all the drones out and you stop up as many holes as you can, leaving just one, and then you pour this stuff in and work it into the seams, and it's
don't ever invite us round at that point.
Yeah.
No, you tend to do that alone.
So we're going to hear the other ones now, so
yes,
we can hear the difference.
Okay, what are the seconds that we've got to find? So we have them to live. They go over there.
I'll put them. That's it. This is a little set of German small pipes.
Now it's got two drones, but they look shorter
much
than the other
shorter,
one.
Much shorter, much smaller.
And less ornate, if anything.
Mm. Yes, they don't put much decoration on. But the big bells, because the English pipes for some reason have had bells on the drones and bells on the chanter. They don't seem to do much, quite honestly.
Which bit's the chanter?
The chanter is that bit that makes the
one thing holes
that makes does the melody, but. I've never quite found out what the bells do, because if you hear a German shepherd's pipe from about the same period, it sounds very similar. But there we are. This is the little indoor German pipe called a Hummelchen. Bumblebee.
Aha. Looks like a live creature, that one.
That's one first rule of bagpipes. until it's inflated, there's no way of holding it. Hear that one of the drones is actually slightly out of tune. It says it's cold.
It sounds like a bee.
Yeah, it does a little. But there's actually a thing for plugging up one of your drones on there, is there?
Oh, yes. You always have to have little bits of string and stoppers hanging off your bagpipes. It's traditional, yes. It's for tuning. You plug one drone, tune one drone against the chanter,
yeah,
and then you unplug the other one and tune the two drones together. Uh-huh. It's just a way of being able to hear what you're doing.
Oh, they're amazing instruments, and nothing like, as you say, the weapon that the Scottish brandish.
They're wonderful bagpipers, the Scots. I won't have anything said about their technique. It's just the bagpipe.
But I mean, they are more of a monster than what we've seen here.
They were designed for military use. Uh-huh. The idea of the Scots bagpipe was that they just wanted it to be as loud as possible for marching into war with. Apparently, the Irish in medieval times used to try marching into war with harps.
Yeah.
And trolleys and someone to replace the strings.
They were smaller harps, but it's not exactly the most practical thing. So at some point, someone thought, wouldn't the bagpipe actually be a bit more practical?
Yeah.
And there was all sorts of developments went on. But eventually what they did was they cranked up the pressure on the chanter to get it as loud as possible, and then had to put three drones on it to balance it. It's great as long as you stand back.
Right, well, there's still more instruments down there.
I see the bongo drums.
They're not bongo drums, are they?
No.
What would the lovely name for these be?
That's a pair of knackers. Now, I do apologise.
Nina's blushing.
Well, oh, I mean, that is their name, and I suspect that... Now, we'd better not go into the derivation of these things. But these... you remember the shawm I was playing?
Yes.
A few minutes ago? Well...
You're expected to play the shawm and the knackers at the same time?
Well, the Saracen bands in the Holy Land used to play 40 or 50 very small, very raucous shawms.
Yeah.
And then you'd have another 20 or 30 sets of these, which in Arabic are called nakara.
And they come with a stick as well, which is what you're locating at the moment.
Yeah, which is where knackers come from.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a bit soggy. That's the sort of thing.
It's again a very military sound, though, that, isn't it?
Yes. I think the Wolves should use that to march out to against Chelsea tomorrow.
It can be arranged. And in fact, if you have a look at the military tattoos, like the Trooping of the Colour.
Oh, I love the Trooping of the Colour.
Very often, it's the Queen's household, is it? You'll see pairs of horse knackers.
I was just going to say they're exactly the same shape as on the big shy horses that they have. Obviously these are smaller, but there's a bigger.
Yeah.
I'm being careful with what I say now.
If you've got a horse, you can have them bigger.
How old would this design be?
These had really gone out by Tudor times.
Yeah.
You can see them in medieval carvings on cathedrals, but really the 15th century is about the latest that you see a pair of knackers.
Uh-huh.
They went on to ordinary drums after that.
Mm-hmm. But you can see the derivation and the shape and the size of the way it's built up, and as you said, they're a bit like bongos, but they would have developed completely separately to that.
Bongos are derived from African instruments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There may be some link somewhere in the distant past, but these things were basically played by Saracen war bands initially, and then they came across to Europe, and we don't quite know what they did with them. But you can see angels playing them, so they must have had some sort of credibility.
Mm-hmm. And does this mean we have is there just one more instrument for you to share with us?
Yeah,
this is the pièce de résistance, really, isn't it?
We save the best till last.
Mm-hmm. And this is the hurdy-gurdy. Now, as Paul mentioned, he does manufacture instruments, and this is one of your earlier creations.
It is.
So you made this from scratch?
Yep. Yeah. This
and
is,
what's the wood that you use?
Maple, mainly, for most of the construction. Mm-hmm. Back and sides. Spruce for the soundboard. Mm-hmm. Beech for the little keys, because the beech swells least with moisture. So if it does get a bit damp, then that's the best you can do. And then the pretty bits, like the pegs, Indian rosewood, walnut, ebony, and the bits that look like brass are brass.
Funny that.
And that's what would have been used at the time. It wouldn't have been like a hardwood there. They've actually used brass work in there.
Yes, well, brass, sometimes iron on some of the originals. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And how many strings does this instrument have?
Well, six. Two melodies and four drones, because it works like a bagpipe.
And you don't have to blow into it.
Well, no.
It's operated by handle.
But you don't get much. There's just the melodies. That's not far off. Grief, it's a tune.
So a bit of tuning going on there. But it's got like a cover over the front which stops you touching the rotating wooden disc in the middle. Now that acts as a bow on the strings.
It does. And the you've got a handle on the one end that turns... incidentally, it is not a barrel organ.
No, right. Okay.
Because barrel organs got called hurdy-gurdies.
And
you'll sometimes still hear people calling a barrel organ a hurdy-gurdy. It's a completely different instrument.
It's a barrel organ.
Apart from the fact it's got a box and a handle and a monkey.
Yeah.
Which is where the mistake arose. But it's got the hurdy-gurdy. First of all, I've got it strapped onto me. It's the only instrument you have to wear seatbelts for. and then it's got one handle which turns the wheel. The wheel acts as a bow. It's a solid wood bow, which is very strange. But there it goes. You've got one of your bass drums on. And that's two melody strings playing together.
Uh-huh.
And then you start ringing in the drones. string just plays one note, same as the pipes across your shoulder on a bagpipe.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the narrative. Does the same job. One on the bass. Getting fatter. Another one on the top. Three drones, and that's quite enough now. And then you just do the magic.
The magic.
It's the you can get percussion off this, but I've only got two hands.
Mm.
One's played turning the handle, the other one's playing the keys. So even if there were any percussion instrument built in, which you can play, Nina, nothing. No rattles, timbrels, drums, nothing.
No, nothing.
See, and so. If there were, I couldn't play it. I haven't got the hands. So, you want rhythm, you just have to imagine it. So here's a melody. And here's rhythm. Stop. Start again. You have a very confused expression on your face.
How on earth did you?
It's magic.
Did you see, Jason?
Well, I know because I was at an event where he explained it, so I've got to be quiet, otherwise I'll be in trouble. But it is quite impressive. It's like a rattle, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a bit like somebody playing a snare or maracas or something like that.
You've got a little mouse in up your sleeve.
Right. Well, I think. In 1530 or thereabouts, someone must have played one of these to Henry VIII.
Mm.
And I suspect, I've got no real evidence for it, I suspect that that the guy wouldn't tell the king how the trick was done with the percussion.
Mm.
And the king got convinced there was a demon in it.
Oh, really?
And had it banned from church.
No.
And the law still stands. By law, I can't play one of these things in church.
Are you serious? Yeah, apparently. Is that the story?
I'm told it's still on the statute book. You're not allowed to play a hurdy-gurdy in church.
Well, as it goes, my dad actually, when he saw a video of you playing on Sunday night, said, that'd be great to get to church so you can't come.
Well, legally, no, but in practice, you find a policeman in the land that still knows that law.
And it's a Baptist church, so anything goes along those lines, so that'd be fine.
Tell me. How does it work?
You want to know now, don't you?
Yes, please.
Okay. Have a look at your top drone string, which is just a string, but it runs over a little bridge there. And all the others have just got standard bridges. They're just pieces of wood glued onto the board. That one's loose, and I can take the bridge off the instrument. And if you... Does that look like your new doggy? Does it bear any resemblance to your new doggy?
Maybe a little bit.
Sort of, well, it's this
four
one... The French call that le chien. Possibly because it looks a little bit like a dog.
Yeah.
And partly because it barks.
Do you lose these things? Does that drop off? Is that the most?
Oh, incessantly, yes. But fortunately, one of the skills of playing hurdy-gurdy is making new dogs. And that just sits there underneath the top drone string. There's a peg here and a little tension string there. Yeah, put too much tension on it. You get that. Now, if I hold that down and stop it vibrating, the moment I release it, you'll see the way it goes. That's what causes it. But then what you do is take the tension off until it stops, and then you give a quick flick of the right hand, which makes the wheel, which is the bow, it just gives it a jerk forward and back, or at least faster and slower. And you can control it. And that's a question of learning it. That's one to a stroke. There's two.
So clever!
One, three. There's four.
Ha 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 ha!
amazing. And is that one of the earliest examples of an actual keyboard on an instrument, or pianos and things knocking around at that time as well?
It's got to be close to it. The earliest hurdy-gurdy is on the portico of St. James of Compostela in Spain. Mm-hmm. If anybody goes on pilgrimage, have a look on the portico of St. James as you pass. There's two blokes playing a huge one of these. It takes two of them to play it. One winding the handle and the other working the pegs. And that's around 1050, I think. So they certainly go back that far.
Because the pianoforte is a relatively modern instrument, but harpsichords were around before then and were in Tudor times, I take it.
Yes, virginals tended to be. Uh-huh. They go back to things like clavicithariums, and there's one in the Royal College which is about 1450, something like that. Mm-hmm. But the hurdy-gurdy goes back a lot further than that.
So it's certainly one of the earlier examples of that kind of keyboard that looks very modern, to be fair. It looks like it's set out like you'd expect something you can play chopsticks on.
Exactly. The only slight difference is that if you look at it, the keys get narrower as they go up.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the fingerboard of a violin does, or a guitar for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the frets, they get narrower as they go up. It's
trying to remember playing the violin now, many years ago, but it's...
Try guitar.
I've never played guitar, so...
Oh, all right, then. It's the same thing, because it's the way you have to divide a string to get your different notes. So all the frets... on a piano, of course, it's just different strings, so you can lay the keyboard out perfectly evenly.
Uh-huh.
But anything like this has to get narrower and narrower as it gets up to the top.
Different spacing.
How long did it take you to make that?
This one, about 18 months, because this was my first. This is a prototype. I can make them in about 4 or 5 now.
It's amazing.
But I suppose it's curing of the wood in there as well and getting everything to sound right.
I buy me wood seasoned.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just the fact that, I mean, it doesn't actually take 4 months solid, but of course I've glue drying, and you can't do anything while that bit's done, and there's invoices to get out and parties to go to and
lives sort of to live.
Yeah, exactly.
And how many instruments did you produce in a year then? Because if you've got other stuff running in parallel, if you're doing a range of goods.
It varies. It's not a major part of my life. But last year, I think it was about... I knocked out about 6 of various sorts.
Uh-huh. More time producing than playing, or vice versa?
Don't know. Never added up.
I think it's fantastic. How fascinating. It's just so lovely to have something so different, isn't it?
And you're available to hire with various other people who play similarly interesting instruments.
Indeed. One of the days I'll bring the entire band in. That'll shock
you.
That'll be good.
We could have a little dance off in the studio.
Oh, there's a promise. Okay. yes, Diabolus in Musica at your service.
Uh-huh.
Diabolus.org is the website.
How do you spell that? Come on, I'm going to hope.
Oh, sorry. It's medieval Latin and it's very complicated. The explanation is
It's
on the
easy
website.
To get the name, though.
Yeah.
Nobody else has gone for that one.
What does it mean? Sorry, what's the name?
It means the devil in music. Diabolus in Musica. If you've got another 20 minutes, I'll explain it, but...
Give us the spelling in the meantime.
Diabolus.
In?
Musica, which is music with an A on the end of it. But if you want to know more, diabolus.org is
enough to find you.
Yeah.
Fabulous. I think that's fantastic. How lovely.
And playing up and down the country and around the world, no doubt.
Yes, we nearly did a gig in Český Krumlov.
Dread to think where that is. It's even harder to pronounce than Diabolus in Musica, but there we are. But there's your web design work as well. Is that all linked through from there so people can find out more about you?
Yes. I'm a little robot. And we've got all sorts of projects on. I've got to make I finished a model of real pier. Last year.
Okay.
Very exciting.
The Real Museum. If anybody happens to be going past Real Museum, go and have a look at the model of the pier.
Last time I was in Real, it was not an attractive place to be, but I assume...
Was it raining?
It often does in Real, I think. Mm. Yeah. That's why they have the Sun Centre there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a good place to be at this time of year, I think.
No, I'll make sure I don't go in January in the future, but there we are. Well, Paul, I think we deserve a round of applause for everything we've heard.
Thank you so much. It's been fascinating listening to you, seeing the instruments and hearing about the history as well, isn't it, Jason?
It's absolutely brilliant. And it's just so good somebody is keeping this sort of thing going.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Well, we try. It's good. It's good music. It's worth. It's worth keeping alive.
And are you on iTunes?
Not yet.
I think maybe there's going to be a market for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We will be.
Oh, lovely.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining. It's great
thank
to have you here.
You.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been marvellous.
It's been lovely. And it's time for us to go now.
Oh, we're going now.
Yeah, home time.
What are you doing this week?
What have I got planned? Oh, this is a very good question. What have I got planned this week? It's obviously football. I might be in. I might be in Breda in Holland at the end of the week.
Oh, you jet setter, you.
Yeah, not quite. I think it's not quite that glamorous. But other than that, a fairly quiet time of it because there's a lot going on with work at the moment. So that keeps me busy. And then back for more fun here in the Milk Bar for the podcast next week.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Nina's there thinking, what's in my diary? And will Zoe be well enough to rejoin us? But we will find out as you join us.
I might bring the puppy in next week if I can come.
Oh, well, that's a possibility. I don't get on well with dogs. They tend to try and eat me. But there we are.
Funny.
Such is life. But hopefully, see you back for episode 83 next week.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Ta-ra for now.
Ta-ra.
With the milk bar, we're chasing Anita. We went to the milk bar, we're chasing Anita. We went to the milk bar, we're chasing Anita. We went to the milk bar, we're chasing Anita.